out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've gone into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Right then, we're back. This is all very strange, isn't it? I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are back with another edition of our lovely podcast, The Two Soft Compounds. It's been a very, very long break since the last one, isn't it?
I'm a bit rusty on the Formula One front, as I'm sure the drivers are as well. I've played lots of Formula One on PlayStation. I've been watching lots of classic races on Sky Sports F1. But for the actual nitty-gritty of what we're coming back to, you might have to excuse the rustiness as well as the quality of my microphone, because we're doing the podcast with the new conditions now. We're doing it from our individual houses. Scott's very posh. He's got what they call a processor on his microphone, and I haven't got one yet, but next week I will have, so we'll sound perfectly normal then. But for this week, the quality might not be great. But anyway, yeah, here we are, Austria, this coming weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you say, we did one of these, didn't we, at the start of the year, and everything was relatively normal, and then it all kind of kicked off, and then everything got held up, and then the races were slowly cancelled, and then here we are, we're back again, but we're doing two races in Austria, we're doing two races in the UK, loads have been cancelled, loads have been rescheduled, but it's going to be a very bizarre season. Lots of people saying that, you know, they're not sure this season is going to be, in their eyes, I guess the same with the football, isn't it? The whole, you know, is there going to be an asterisk next to it type thing? And people are already saying, oh, you know, if you win the title this year, will it be a bit tainted and all that? I don't agree with that. You know, if we, as long as we get a certain number of races, I think it's going to be fine and everything. But it's just going to be bizarre, isn't it? There's so much stuff I've seen, like literally in the last couple of days, Mercedes are changing the livery of their car. It's going to be an all black car. And I read somewhere that's the first time in Lewis Hamilton's entire career he's driven any other colour apart from silver, true, wouldn't it? Because McLaren and Mercedes. But yeah, so they're changing the livery of their car. We've had lots of you know, stuff that's happened over the winter. The drivers have been tearing their hair out. They've all been doing these races online and the digital world. And, you know, it's just been a very, very bizarre time for everybody involved, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. And, you know, when it comes to the season itself, I think we're still going to get some really good racing this year. And you have to remember, when we were looking at winter testing, which is really all we had to go off, even to this day, as to which teams are going to do well and which teams aren't, we know Mercedes are going to be strong. We know they've got this dual axis steering system, which they are allowed to use in 2020, but it's been banned for next year. AlphaTauri looking really strong too. Red Bull looking strong in winter testing. We need to find out where Alfa Romeo and where Williams are going to be. We imagine Williams will still be at the back, but hopefully a little bit closer, and all the signs seem to be pointing in that direction. Williams have lost their main sponsor. They've got a new livery themselves going into this week. There's been so much going on in the background of Formula One during lockdown. It's amazing. I mean, of course, the big announcement that was made was the Ferrari lineup, with Carlos Sainz joining the Ferrari team in 2021. And that means Danny Ricks moving over to McLaren. Him and Lando will make just the most unbelievable partnership, won't they?
Oh, it's going to be great, isn't it? And like you say, there was some still exciting stuff going on behind the scenes, because I think every kind of move in my mind was great. You know, Carlos in a Ferrari was a great thing, and paired up, those two are going to be great. And like you say, Lando paired up with Ricardo, it's going to be an immense team. And there's some really, I know we've said this loads on the podcast in the past, but there's some really exciting drivers, some really exciting combinations of drivers, some really exciting teams. I've heard that Williams, you know, may be better than we think this year. And you know, there's some quite exciting stuff coming out of the kind of rumour mill. I prefer the livery of the Williams, I think, now. They've changed their sponsor. I think it looks a little bit more Williams-esque, and I like that. There's rumours that, you know, people are going to buy chunks of Williams. I've heard a rumour that Toto Wolff might be buying back into Williams. And, you know, I think that's a good thing for them long term. But, you know, the world at the moment is struggling financially. The world is going to struggle financially for 10 years after this. And I think Formula One is a great example of, you know, the huge teams are going to survive. The lower down teams are going to really struggle. And I hope that, you know, the likes of Williams do either get bought out or do get helped, do get, you know, money injections, and they can carry on, because it would be sad when it's a loser team, particularly a team like Williams that has, you know, had such a pedigree in the sport. But I do genuinely think we've got quite a good season coming, although bizarre season. And it's going to be weird as well with no crowds, isn't it? Imagine what it's going to be like to watch a race with zero crowds.
Well, you know what? On that point, I watched football when it came back, and without a crowd, even though I was watching my team, Liverpool, champions, by the way, Scott, even though I was watching them, without a crowd, the atmosphere in a football match, it's really difficult to get excited about it. And the first couple of games when the Premier League resumed were like watching training matches. It was terrible. But I was enthused by the fact that I watched IndyCar, that's been back for a few weeks already now. And they were running behind closed doors. And watching on television, it does not affect the race atmosphere in any way for me without there being a crowd there. You still got the engine noise. You still got the onboard shots. You've got the commentary teams. You've got all the pit lane reporters. It doesn't make a jot of difference to me not having a crowd. And I think that will be the same for Formula One. So on Sunday, I don't think you'll notice the fact that there isn't a crowd there. I mean, of course, you'll see empty grandstands. And because it's Austria, you won't have Max Verstappen's orange army there. But, you know, apart from that, I don't think it will take anything away from the spectacle of the race. I think the drivers will be pushing just as hard and the teams will be working just as hard in the pit lane. And, of course, they've got this whole socially distanced bubble. So a bit like the footballers, they're being tested, I think, three times a week. And then those teams have to basically live together, so they'll all be in one hotel. Each team, including the drivers, will be in one place. They'll be allowed out to go to the track at certain times. They'll be tested three times a week, as I said. And then once they're in the paddock, they're forming a big bubble around everything there. So only people who work within Formula One and who have been vetted and tested are allowed into that environment, which is a really good way of doing things.
Yeah, and how's that kind of lead to the TV coverage and stuff? Are they allowed to have the normal amount of TV presenters, or have that been scaled right back? Do we know about
As far as I know, they're all going to be there, and they'll just be part of that bubble. So, yeah. For instance, the Sky F1 team will be in a hotel, but again, in a bubble, and the Channel 4 guys will be in a similar situation. So it's all been worked out quite well, and they think that they've got it down to a fine art when it comes to protecting the team, teams and the drivers. They've all already said that if a driver, for instance, tests positive or a team member tests positive, then they can use their reserve drivers. And as I understand it, the reserve drivers are in a separate isolation, so they're not with the rest of the team. So it's been worked out quite well.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, going back to what you said about the crowd noise as well, it's very different to football, isn't it? I mean, you don't, because of the engine noise, because of that kind of atmosphere already, you don't really lean on the crowd in the same way in Formula One, I guess. And, you know, it, like you said, it will be a little bit like a test session sometimes, because you'll be looking at empty grandstands and watching these cars go around. But I think, like you say, atmosphere-wise and sound-wise, you'll still have the commentary teams, you'll still have the sound of the cars, so it won't make as big a difference. But it's going to be very interesting. It'd be interesting as well to see how the drivers are affected, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of the drivers have said, you know, they'll go to their home Grand Prix and they find an extra half a second because the crowd, you know, cheers them on and stuff. And are they going to be a bit affected by that, where they've just got no crowd and there's no, you know, there's nothing for them to play off? They're just basically, you know, they feel like they're kind of going around a karting track on their own, I guess. And that'll be interesting how that affects the drivers as well. But I think we've got a good season ahead. I'm excited about the fact, I feel like Red Bull's going to be right up there. I feel like Ferrari's going to be right up there. Obviously, Mercedes are going to be up there. But I feel like, you know, McLaren, and I feel like we've got a bunch of teams, the Force India as well, whatever they're called these days, Racing Point.
They were spectacular in winter testing, Force India. Yeah. So, yeah, they're definitely ones to watch.
And I feel like they're all just kind of on the bubble, aren't they? And I think there's, you know, there's some potentially, it's always, you know, the first couple of races is always exciting because, you know, the first race of the year traditionally in Australia is kind of, that's the first race, but it doesn't tell you too much. You have to wait for the second or third race in to kind of gauge it. It's going to be fascinating as well that we're doing it from the same track twice. So, you know, it will be an Austria Grand Prix and then they'll be at the same track again the week after, which is going to be very different.
What I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend, and this was a point that was made by Lewis Hamilton, I think, who said this is the least amount of competitive driving he's done since he was 8 years old. And it's just, that's just bizarre. So, you know, when we watched, we compare it to football again, you watch the football players, when they did their first games, they all looked a little bit rusty. Surely it's going to be the same for the Formula One drivers, because some of them have run two-year-old cars in private tests sort of this week and last week. There are a number of drivers, Max Verstappen included, who hasn't set foot in a Formula One car since winter testing. and you think, well, that's got to cause a bit of rustiness. I mean, I'm no comparison because I'm not an elite Formula One driver, but when I used to drive in the British Pro Kart Championship, that meant racing every week or every 2 weeks, sort of 8 months of the year. And then I flew over to Dubai to do one of these 24-hour kart races, having not driven for about 5 months. I was rusty as hell. I was terrible. I couldn't commit to being late on the brakes. I was scared to go full pelt round fast right-handers. It was, you know, I think confidence-wise, it saps you a bit. And I know they've got the best trainers in the world and they've got the simulators and stuff, so hopefully they'll be sharp. But there might be a few that are finding it a struggle this weekend.
Yeah, and I guess it's like, you know, when you borrow someone's car or you drive someone else's car and you get in that car and you drive it and you're like, whoa, this is weird. This feels like the steering's light or heavy and you know, the gear changes are different and this is in a different place to where I'm used to it. And, you know, there'll be an element of that as well where they're going to have to familiarise themselves with that car again. And, you know, it's been a long, 9 months or something? It's been even longer than that maybe since they've been in a car. So it's, you know, it's just there's a lot of elements into this season, you know, no crowd, having to get used to the car again. There'll be new technology on the cars. You know, will this steering system play that much of a difference for Mercedes this year? You know, are Mercedes going to run away with it? The new livery, I think, what's interesting this year is, I think, you know, as I said before, I think the Williams looks better. I think the Mercedes looks incredible in all black as well. It looks really kind of, really mean. It looks like it really means business, doesn't it? That's what I'm trying to say. But it looks, you know, looks incredible. And I don't know, there's something in the back of my mind that thinks we're going to have a really exciting season because we've been kind of cornered into it, you know, with coronavirus happening, we've had to change a lot of things. And I just think because the drivers have had to wait so long, they'll all be mega excited to get behind the wheel. And I just think we've got a really good season coming our way.
Two Soft Compounds.
Let's talk about Sebastian Vettel. Loads of rumours after he announced he was leaving Ferrari. They said they couldn't agree terms, but there's got to be some Leclerc in there as well, and the fact that he had a season where his teammate was beating him. We saw the same at Red Bull when Danny Ric started beating Vettel, and he got a bit cheesed off and ultimately made the move to Ferrari. So he's announced he's leaving the team, and then everyone was saying, oh, you've got to partner him with Lewis Hamilton, that'll be great. I actually think he's going to retire. I think he's done in Formula One. He's got a young family, wants to spend more time with them. Mark Webber said the same thing. He thinks he's just going to walk away from the sport. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I saw, and it might have actually been Mark Webber. Somebody I saw the other day was making some comments and they said, you know, anybody that's walked away from Formula One for a year off or a sabbatical, it's very rare they come back, and it's very rare they come back competitively. And I think that's it, isn't it? I think once you walk away, there's so many young guns, there's so many great drivers ready to kind of move up to that top spot. I think once you move away and retire, that kind of is it. I was looking the other day, and Rosberg is only just turned 35, and he's been retired, 4 years now? So he was like 31 when he retired, wasn't he? And again, you know, some of these drivers, they have one ambition, and that is, I'm going to win the world title. And if I win the world title, that's it. I'm walking away, which is what Rosberg did. You know, and you wonder now, if Rosberg had hung around for a bit, would he have beaten Hamilton a few more times? Would he have been a multiple champion? Like, it's interesting to think like that when he retired so young. You just sort of didn't see it coming. And I guess Vettel, for me, is the same, where although he's one of the older guys on the grid, like you say, he's still fairly young. He's got a young family. He's got more money than he'll ever need. You know, he's always the kind of guy that he's got that kind of German. He's got a very British sense of humour, although he's got a bit of German in him as well. But he's got, you know, natural, very charismatic guy. Would be great on TV. Would be great commentating or being a part of one of the German coverage teams. You know, so he's got all those options, all those potential stuff. He could, you know, he could do anything really. I think these sportsmen that retire, you know, can always go and do many, many things afterwards. It's just whether he would miss it. Would he miss driving? Would he do what, you know, Jenson Button's gone and done, and he's gone into other series and he's still continuing to drive competitively, but, you know, much lower down than Formula One? Or would he walk away completely? And it's kind of, you know, Schumacher retired, didn't he? And then he came back again a few years later. And you never really know with these drivers. I think some of them walk away with good intentions and then they just get the itch and want to come back a few years later. I think you're right. I don't see any option for Vettel. I don't see, you know, if he goes to a Renault or a team like Renault, you know, is it going to be a bit of a, I'm just here for the sake of it type of thing? You know, I think all these guys want to be at the front. And I think if they've had the chance to be at the front and they've won some world titles, the last thing they want to do is be a midfield runner. And I think if he did end up at a Renault, it would be for a year or two and he'd get frustrated and walk away. So I think you're right. I think if he's not in a top team, I think he will walk away. And I also think that with regards to Mercedes taking him on, you know, for us as fans, that would be incredible to see Hamilton versus Vettel in the same machinery. Would be incredible. But for the team, it would be madness, wouldn't it? Because they would just end up taking each other out. And, you know, as far as the team's concerned, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. But as a fan, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, exactly. And the other big rumour is that Alonso may be coming back to the sport to work with Renault. And really? I think it's very, very difficult to see Alonso getting back into Formula One.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, again, it will be another case of if he comes back, it will be a midfield team at best. He'll get frustrated very quickly again. And, you know, the success Fernando Alonso has had outside of Formula One has been amazing. Like, any car he gets in, he wins pretty much. You know, the guy is incredible. He's an incredible driver, brilliant all-rounder. And I think one of his greatest skills is exactly that. Anything he gets in, he can make it fast very quickly, which is a skill that not everyone has. But yeah, I think if he comes back now, again, he's going to get frustrated. He's going to get annoyed. And I'm not sure it's the right move for him to come back either. Yeah.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds.
He's back with us for the 2020 season. It's Nicky from @LightsOut. It's a great blog that you can follow via Twitter. Loads of stats and figures updated live during the races. And if you want to look back at any of your favourite drivers from the past, you can pretty much see how many wheel nuts they've used in their career. It's that in-depth. So here's Nicky from Lights Out with a preview of this weekend's race action in Austria.
After 217 days in the third longest off-season ever, Formula One returns with the 33rd World Championship Austrian Grand Prix. Here are five stats you need to know as the 2020 season finally kicks off. This weekend, Austria will become the 11th different country to host a season-opening Formula One race. The Red Bull Ring will be the 14th different track to host the first race of a season. Silverstone, Zandvoort, Long Beach and the Prince George Circuit in South Africa are the only other circuits which have played host to a single season-opening event. The 2020 Austrian Grand Prix will be the first ever Formula One race to take place behind closed doors, and it will be the latest ever season-opening Grand Prix, as well as the first time that the season has started in Europe since 1966. Meanwhile, next week's Steiermark Grand Prix will mark the first time in F1 history that a venue has hosted two consecutive rounds of a championship, as well as the first time since 1996 that a country has hosted two consecutive races. On track, Max Verstappen could equal Alain Prost for the record of most Austrian Grand Prix victories. Prost won three times at the Österreichring during his career. Should Verstappen be victorious this weekend, it would be the first time that a driver has won the Austrian Grand Prix in three consecutive years. Alain Prost, Michael Schumacher and Nico Rosberg are the only other drivers to have won consecutive Austrian races. Reigning world champion Lewis Hamilton could get his 2020 season off to a record-breaking start. If he leads the Austrian Grand Prix from start to finish, he'll become the driver to have led the most Grand Prix from start to end. He currently shares the record of 19 lights-to-flag victories with Ayrton Senna. Furthermore, if Hamilton scores in the race, it will be the 34th consecutive Grand Prix in which he has picked up points, beating his own existing record of 33 consecutive points finishes. Incredibly, since the 2016 Japanese Grand Prix, the 2018 Austrian Grand Prix is the only one in which Hamilton has not scored. And finally, two consecutive races at the Red Bull Ring might not be good news for Renault, who have not picked up a point in the Austrian Grand Prix since 1983. The last time they scored here was when Alain Prost won 37 years ago. Since then, the Enstone team has scored at the Styrian track in both their Benetton and Lotus guises, but the Renault Works team are yet to score here since their return to the sport in 2016.
Nice one, Nicky. Thank you for that. And of course, don't forget more stats and facts all over the weekend at Lights Out is where you can find him on Twitter. And he's got a great blog that you can check out as well. So this weekend is the Austrian Grand Prix, and then it's going to be the Austrian Grand Prix again the following weekend after that. They're naming them slightly different, though, I think, aren't they? They're not called the same thing. I think one's the Austrian Grand Prix and one's got a different random name. But it's going to be interesting to see the same track back to back, because I think what will happen is the drivers will get properly up to speed on this track this weekend. And then obviously next weekend, they'll all have confidence, and, you know, they'll all be late on the brakes and because they've already done this circuit. So that's going to be interesting to get race number two. I think they were talking about doing reverse grids and all that kind of stuff, weren't they? But it got voted down. If the rumours are to be believed by Mercedes, they could, oh, you know, why would we affect, you know, how good we are? Why, you know, and that's the problem, isn't it? I think when you're so far out ahead, you've got everything to lose, and I think all the other teams are like, well, we've got nothing to lose. Let's do a reverse grid. So that's a shame, again, for us as fans. But I think Mercedes is going to dominate. I can see Red Bull right up there. I think it's going to be a very familiar top three. I think it's going to be a Mercedes, Red Bull and Ferrari top three. I think McLaren are going to be right up there. I think Racing Point are going to be right up there this weekend. It would be good to see Renault up there, but I think they may struggle again this weekend. But for me, again, I think Hamilton's going to come out the box, you know, showing his speed and showing what he's got in mind this year. I think Max Verstappen's going to do very well this weekend as well. For me, it's going to be a Hamilton, Verstappen and Leclerc top three.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, Hamilton and Verstappen are the only two drivers, or two drivers, I should say, that haven't done any of the esports races that we've had so far this year. Whether that gives the drivers who have an extra bit of an edge coming into this weekend, I don't know. I agree with you. I think Hamilton's going to be on top. Verstappen, I think, always does well in Austria. So him and Albon, it wouldn't surprise me if Albon gets on the podium this weekend. But the whole thing could be completely up in the air. We need to see how the car... It's like, you know, being at Australia all over again. Mm. The first race is often a bit of a mixed match of what's to come for the rest of the year. But we'll see. We've got drivers who haven't driven since... Or they haven't driven in anger since early December. It's a long time. We've got teams that have had to pause most of their work during the pandemic. We've got a circuit that is not traditionally the first of the season. It's going to be really interesting. I'm really excited for this weekend. I'll be watching the practice sessions and everything.
I suspect there might be some accidents this weekend as well, because I think, like you say, a lot of people out of practice. Be really interesting if Hamilton comes in and wins this race without having done any of the esports stuff and almost nothing driving-wise, and comes in and just wins it. That's a real statement to the other drivers, isn't it?
Yeah, and once again, before the season starts, he says, I'm the fittest I've ever been. And, you know, so he's already playing the mind games before we've even driven a car in anger.
Well, enjoy the Grand Prix this weekend. It's finally back, Formula One back in our lives. We'll be back here next week to review the race as well and get hopefully very excited about the outcome.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.